Current state on 90.5 WKAR, a preliminary study suggests a connection between a common hospital infection and a very serious one, and indicates that healthy bacteria may make a positive difference in fighting it off. Dr. Hallie Prescott is a clinical lecturer at the University of Michigan, one of the lead authors of the study. It looked at how older people do in the first 90 days after they're released from the hospital. One thing it suggests is that people whose good intestinal bacteria are disrupted by a common infection called C. diff are more likely to get sepsis later on, which is much more serious. Current State's Melissa Benmark spoke with Dr. Prescott this week and started by asking her to explain in detail what sepsis and C. diff do to the body.
Sepsis is basically a severe infection that has downstream consequences such as acute organ dysfunction. So someone whose infection causes kidney injury or causes lung failure, so people need to be on a ventilator. It can be started from any different source of infection. So it can start as a urinary tract infection or start as a pneumonia, but then it gets severe enough that it causes some sort of vital organ to have a failure. In terms of this C. diff infection, that is a very specific type of diarrhea infection that happens only in people who really have had treatment with broad-spectrum antibiotics that has basically depleted the diversity of the normal microbes that live in people's intestines in a normal situation. So it allows this particular bug called C. diff to then take over basically the environment in the intestines.
And what relationship did you find between those two things in your study?
In this study, you know, our hypothesis was that some of these broad-spectrum antibiotics that we treat people with during a hospital stay may set them up to develop sepsis down the road. So we looked specifically at people who had, you know, had a hospital stay and they were already discharged. So these are people that, you know, we thought were well enough to go home. And then we asked what happens in the next 90 days. And, our hypothesis was that if people have more severe disruption to the microbiome or disruption to their normal microbial communities, they would be at higher risk for having sepsis down the road. So we looked at specifically what happened just after all hospitalizations, what happened after hospitalizations with infection where people were likely treated with broad-spectrum antibiotics, and then what happened after these, you know, very specific hospitalizations where the patient was treated with C. difficile. And we found that sepsis, just, you know, in general was, you know, very common in these 90 days after a hospital stay. So of people who are going to have sepsis at some point, it's most likely to happen in this post-hospital setting. And then specifically, these hospitalizations that had infection, you know, had about a 30% higher rate of having sepsis in the next 90 days. And then for these ones with the C. diff infection, there was a 70% higher. So there seems to be this dose response that, you know, and we hypothesize that it's the more severely disrupted your microbiome is at this time, the more set up you are for potentially developing sepsis down the road.
Is the microbiome an internal and an external thing? Explain that a little bit for us.
Yes, exactly. So I think the definition would basically be the microbes that live on and within us. So normally this is a relationship that's, you know, positive for both people. There's health benefits, and we now understand that a healthy microbiome is very important to health. And disruptions of microbiome have been associated with things like this C. diff diarrhea, this acute infection. And they've also been associated with the pathogenesis of chronic inflammatory conditions, things like rheumatoid arthritis or inflammatory bowel disease. But this study sort of asked about a slightly different time frame. So what about sort of this next 90 days, sort of after you've had a hit to your microbiome, before it's, you know, maybe recovered back to a normal state, you know, what happens to people during that time period?
About how long has the medical community been considering the human biome as a positive thing? I mean, it seems like really not all that long ago that we thought of any microorganisms, or most of them anyway, as germs.
I would say it's been an evolving thing over the past decade or so that we've increasingly become to realize that it's not really this, you know, fight like us versus the microbes. And I think you increasingly realize that it's a much more complex picture than that, that, you know, in a normal situation, you know, we've evolved to live together. And so it's more about how do we maintain this, you know, positive relationship as opposed to, you know, eradicating all microbes. That's certainly not the answer to trying to promote health.
We're talking to Dr. Hallie Prescott, a U of M critical care physician and healthcare researcher. One of the things that I'm curious about is, you know, you'll hear people say, oh, if you've been on a really strong antibiotic, especially for like a urinary infection, you know, it'll kill all the bacteria in your gut, eat yogurt or something like that. Besides that kind of elementary approach, do we have other approaches at this point in healthcare of adding beneficial microorganisms to the human biome?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's sort of like two streams of thought on that. I mean, one is actual probiotics, which means taking some sort of supplement, like something with, like yogurt that has active, you know, cultures in it. And there's, you know, different supplements and things that are over the counter. And I think that's still a, you know, a very evolving field. And we don't really know, we don't have a prescription for what is the best, you know, what is the best thing to take. And so that, I think, still a little bit of a, we're not exactly sure what to recommend for that. And then the other line of thinking is, well, you know, rather than actually introducing bacteria into us that are healthy, what about tailoring our diet to try to create an environment that promotes the growth and, you know, continued existence of healthy bacteria within us? And so, you know, I think that there are different foods, like leeks are cited as being things that, you know, a diet high in these, or at least has some degree of these foods, can help promote the, you know, a healthy microbiome. And so I think certainly, you know, going forward, I mean, that's one of my interests in sort of like where will this go 10 years from now, is trying to figure out, are there certain diets, you know, or supplements or things that we can recommend for folks after a hospital stay or after some other time where their microbiome has been disrupted, so we can try to speed up the recovery to try to reduce people's risk of these other consequences, like reducing this risk of having sepsis in these, you know, days while the microbiome is still recovering.
But isn't that kind of difficult when you're dealing, if you're dealing with diet, you know, somebody who has had some kind of acute, you know, unpleasant gut disease like C. diff, you know, probably isn't going to want to eat that much. I mean, how do you,
right.
It's sort of self-fulfilling. How do you defeat that?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And I think that, you know, that's probably another, you know, reason why we need to do actual more studies, not only about these prebiotics, these foods that promote it, because if people really can't tolerate them, you know, if there are other sort of pills or other things that might be more palatable when someone's, you know, trying to recover from an illness and, you know, maybe doesn't have the most robust appetite. But I mean, I think that this is a very different approach to sort of preventing disease or treating disease than we've had in the past. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of research on sepsis in the past few decades that has really focused almost entirely on the immune system. And a lot of these, you know, drugs have been in the preclinical state and they've just really never come to fruition. And so there's been frustration, you know, in the world of sepsis researchers. And so this is sort of considering a different side of things, which is saying, well, what about, you know, this microbiome? Is this potentially a therapeutic target? Knowing that there's a lot of crosstalk between the microbiome and people's immune system.
So how do you think you'll follow up on this study, or someone else will follow up on this study?
The next steps are, you know, we use these sort of proxies. You know, we said that, you know, if people have infection, we suspect that their microbiome is, you know, impaired to some degree. And if they have C. diff, you know, we know that C. diff only happens in people who have a severely impaired microbiome. Well, we didn't actually measure people's microbiome. So I think the next step would be to really actually do direct measurements, like do, you know, swabs of people's cheeks, collect stool studies, actually sequence what kind of bacteria are there, to say that, yes, indeed, like as we suspected from the study, there does seem to be this impairment, and we know, like, it on average takes this and this much time to recover, and sort of, you know, more directly show that the impairments in the microbiome are associated with increased risk of sepsis. So I think sort of just a little bit more proof that this is actually what's happening. And then the next steps and sort of the excitement here, I think, is the possibility to try to reduce people's risk of having sepsis. And that's when we would, you know, think about doing some sort of study where we would either, you know, put people on a specific diet or give people supplements or do something to try to, you know, promote a quicker recovery of people's microbiome to reduce people's risk of having, you know, a severe infection, you know, after they've already just been recovering from some other illness.
Well, Dr. Holly Prescott, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Oh, yes, thank you. It was great. Thanks for inviting me.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.